Acts chapter 11. Let's read these four verses again. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, I want to point out two things from this text before we get into the message of it. I believe the Lord gave me personally a message, and it was a message for me. I hope it's a message for you all. But before we get into that, I want to show two things, just point out two quick things. The first one is here in verses 27 and 28. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. This man Agabus was a prophet from the church in Jerusalem who traveled to Antioch. He was one who could tell the future, a prophet, things that hadn't happened yet, and no one had told before. Never heard anything about this before. And this was a gift that God gave to some men for a particular reason. Look over at chapter 15, verse 32. It says, "And Judas and Silas," and that's Jude, "and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them." They confirmed them. All right, now look at Ephesians 4 with me. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets." Now, apostles were men who were taught the gospel directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of their requirements. We've said that many times, but I want to keep reminding, there are no more apostles. If you run into one, make sure you know. I did. I've run into one. Bless his heart. Told me he was an apostle. But there are no more apostles. Prophets were not just preachers. You know, we think of prophets as being preachers, and they were, but they were not just preachers. They were men who could tell things that had not happened yet. There are no more prophets. None. Now, we preach things that have not happened yet. We do all the time. Our Lord is coming back. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. He is coming back. And he is going to descend from heaven with a shout. It is going to happen. The trump shall sound. It is going to happen. But we're not telling anything that has never been told. Right? I literally don't have anything. If you're looking for something new, stop coming. I have nothing. I have nothing new to say. We are telling the old, old story. That's what we're doing. The old paths. And we're just declaring his word. That's what preaching the gospel is. It's not telling anything new. It's just repeating what God has said. Declaring the word. The reason that God gave apostles who could do miracles, Paul caused a man to come back from the dead. And they healed people. And the reason that God gave apostles and the reason that God gave prophets to foretell the future was to write this word. That was the reason for them. And to confirm that it was indeed the word of God. He proved it with signs and wonders. But the canon is now finished. It's absolutely finished. And there's no more apostles and there's no more prophets. All right? Ephesians 4, verse 11 right here says, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. And there are still evangelists. Those who spread the gospel as far as it'll, as far as they can take it. And some pastors, and that's what I've been called to be, an under-shepherd who stays with the flock. The master's flock. It's not my flock, it's the master's flock. The owner's flock, and I'm just the under-shepherd who's been called to sit here. And then teachers who help the pastor. All right, so back in our text, that's the first thing I want to point out. Agabus prophesied, and it came to pass. Now here's the second thing. Verse 29 says, Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The disciples who were in Antioch, this announcement of this dearth was to all the world. I mean, all the world. And so these disciples in Antioch found out a dearth is coming to them too. But in love and in concern for their brethren, in obedience to the word, they gave. They gave. They started sending relief. And they gave to their brethren in need. And verse 29 says, they determined to send relief. Verse 30 says, which also they did. How many times have you determined to send relief, but it just didn't, I didn't get around to it? They determined to send relief, which also they did. If our God lays it on our heart to take care of our own in need, let's do it. Let's do it. It says right there in verse 29, then the disciples, every man, don't let me say, well, he has more money than I do, so I'm going to let him take care of that part, and I'm going to do this part. Every man, according to his ability, they didn't give what they didn't have. The amount does not matter, does it? That our Lord gave that illustration of the widow, and everybody was pouring their money in, and she put in two mites, and he said, she gave all. She gave all. It's not the amount. Every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief, which also they did, and they sent it to them by the hands of somebody else. They sent it through Barnabas and Saul, and they did that according to the word of God. Now go over real quick to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 1 says, Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And that's what they did. That's what they did. God laid it on their heart to give, and they gave, and they did it through Barnabas and Saul. Now go back with me to Acts chapter 11. I have a message now, and I told you those two things because that's what the Scripture says, and I'm not going to leave it out. I have a message, though, that has been burning a hole in my chest since Monday. Right here in this text, the message was declared. The message was responded to. That's what we just saw. Now, what was the message? What did he say right here? What was the message? It's in verse 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. I fear this message. I fear this message. I have a Sunday morning message on Wednesday night. You know what that means? I fear this message. I couldn't wait till Sunday. I have to tell it tonight. This has been so sobering to me. There is great dearth throughout all the world. Great dearth. Dearth means a scarcity of food. Famine. That's what it is. It's famine. There is a famine throughout all this world. And the world does not realize it. They do not realize it. And you already know what I'm getting at, don't you? Everybody knows that there's hunger all over the place. You already know what I'm getting at. And we know this and we hear this and we say, ah, yes. But it might go a little deeper than that. It might go just a little bit deeper than that. There are places that are starving, people that are starving from physical hunger all over this world. There are places like that, plenty of places like that. But that is not why this was written. It's just not. Our Lord said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." There are plenty of people who are searching these Scriptures and gathering the first two things that I just told you. And in those first two things, they think they have eternal life. They think that they have eternal life in feeding the hungry and doing good things, right? He said, "These are they which testify of me." Our Lord said, "The poor you have with you always, but me you have not always." And here's the message. There is a great dearth right now. There is a great dearth. Go with me over to Amos chapter 8. And if your Bible is anything like mine, it's page 1147. Amos chapter 8, and look at verse 11 with me. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And we are in that day. We are in that day. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." Not a famine of bread. Not a famine of actual food. Not a famine of prosperity. Man, this is a rich country we live in. And even the poor countries are starting to become a little bit more rich. Not a famine of religion. Religion is everywhere. Religion is flourishing. It's thriving. Not a famine of church buildings. There are church buildings literally on every corner. Not a famine of preachers. There are 10 preachers on every corner. I couldn't believe it when I moved here. We moved here from Roanoke. And it's a religious enough place. But man, this is religious. I mean, everybody's a preacher. Not a famine of those. There is not a famine of dead sermons. There's not a famine of baptisms. There's not a famine of professions. There's not a famine of theology. There's not a famine of pride. There's not a famine of self-righteousness. There's a famine of Christ. Man, it is hard to find. Where is Christ? Where is Christ? Where is His Word? Where is His Word? I'm usually low-key on Wednesday night. I don't know, laid back. Why are you so fired up? Why are you taking this so seriously? It's because we're in a famine. We are in a famine. And I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see it. There is a famine in the land. We all know that there's a famine throughout the world, don't we? We know that. We all know that there is a famine in the churches, don't we? We know that. What I want to know is there a famine in me? And as I wrote that down, this is the thought that went through my mind. As I wrote that, I thought, now does that sound like just a good ending point to my outline? Because it's not. I mean, it's not. I encourage every single one of us to ask this question in this soul right now. Is there a famine in me? Is there a lack of His Word in me? Am I flourishing in everything else? I mean, just everything else. But the one thing that I'm just really struggling to get a little bit of is His Word and His Spirit. If that question does not affect us, there might be a famine in us. Really? Is there a famine in me? Well, that's a good question. That'll be the gospel, and we'll get the 3 R's and the 5 points, and we'll get it all right, and we'll walk out of here saying, boom, here's my question. Is there a famine in me? If that does not affect me, there might be a famine in me. There might be. Famines are scary. They're scary. Lord, please don't send a famine to this place ever. Ever. Don't let me ever say, I'm not going to say that because it might offend somebody. I think I'm going to withhold those words because they might offend somebody. The day that happens will be the day the famine begins. And we'll start doing with less and less of His Word. Oh, don't let the famine enter this place. Don't let the famine enter me. Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, look at verse 11. David said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, man, do you think that he meant that when he said it? Do you think something in his soul was just on his soul's knees begging God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take it away from me. Don't take it away from this place. Turn with me to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 9 says, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it's sealed. What are you getting out of it? Nothing. Nothing. Lamentations 2 verse 9 says, the prophets find no vision from the Lord. Micah 3 verse 7 says, there is no answer of God. He's not talking to them anymore. No words. No words. Is there a famine of the reading of the Bible? No. But it doesn't mean that God's talking. It doesn't mean he's talking. A man will stand up behind a pulpit and he'll load us down with plenty of the words of men. We have plenty of that. Somebody has written a book. There's a brand new book. And what we're going to do is we're going to study the words of a man. We're going to see what this man has to say. What about the word of the Lord? Well, we've kind of exhausted that. But we have a book. We have a new book. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 12 says, now, this is Solomon. Well, this is Christ who is inspiring Solomon. But Solomon, by God, was made the wisest man on this earth. And he is a picture of Christ himself. And he pens right here in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, and further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study of those books is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What he's saying is, quit reading those books. They're not real food. You know, the country's so sick because we're not eating real food anymore. Some of us have talked about that lately. We got some food, but it's not real food. That's the books. They're not real food. They're just going to bring on a famine. That's all they're going to do. Now, before we leave here tonight, I want to find out, is there a famine in me? Is there a famine in me? Turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, this is God speaking. And he says in verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Is not my word like a fire? If God sends His word, it burns. It burns. It burns a sinner. Does it burn within me? Is it consuming me? Is it? He said right here, my word is like a hammer. When God sends His word, it breaks sinners. It absolutely crushes sinners. That's exactly what His word is. It crushes pride. It crushes arrogance. It crushes self-righteousness. Has this hard heart been broken by the Word of God? Look at Psalm 119 with me. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When God sends His word, it illuminates. My feet, it illuminates my sin, and it illuminates my path. Through this word, we see Christ. Have I seen my own sin through this word? That's my first question. I got two questions on that. The first one is, have I seen my own sin through this word? The second question is, do I still? Do I still? Have I seen Christ high and lifted up? Have I seen what my sin did to Him? Today? I mean today? Go with me over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When God sends His word, it slays men and women. It just slays them. It pierces the heart. Have I been pierced? Here's His word. He said it's a fire, didn't He? He said this is a fire. If the fire doesn't burn, we have a little fire pit. And in the fall, we'll get it out and put it in the backyard. And we'll build a fire. And the whole time, I'm telling the girls, you watch that fire. I'm telling them, you respect that fire. And they're doing their thing, and they're running around. And I'm telling them, whatever you do, you keep an eye on that fire. If the fire doesn't burn, this is a hammer, He said. If the hammer does not break, He said, this is a light. If the light does not expose, He said, this is a sword. If this word right here does not pierce, God is not talking to me. That's scary, isn't it? I'm in a famine. A famine of the word of the Lord, and He's not talking to me. And if I stay there, I'll die. My soul will die of spiritual hunger. This message is not for the world. This message is for me. I'm telling you, this is for me. It's for us. What if I'm in a famine? What if I'm starting to realize that I'm in a famine? What if you're starting to realize as we sit here and we go through this word? You know, I thought maybe I should take a few of these scriptures out. And I thought, wait a minute, that's going to be a famine of the word. All right, now we've gone through the Word and gone through the Word, and we're like, wait a minute. This has been the most shocking part of Wednesday. Maybe you're starting to realize I'm in a famine too. What will break a famine? What will break a famine? Bread. Bread does. Would you like a loaf of bread? I know where there's a whole house of bread. A whole house full. Turn over to John 6. John 6, verse 51. Our precious Lord and Savior said, I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Does that create a little burn? What is he talking about? He is talking about a lamb that was slain. That's what he's talking about. A sacrifice that was put on the fire of God's wrath to end famine. I love thinking about the fact that those priests were able to eat. They lived off of the ministry. And the people would bring a sacrifice, and the priest would take that animal and dress that animal. And put the spices on that animal. And build a fire on that altar and put that animal on that altar. And the priest got to eat. He was able to eat. And that sacrifice was such a sweet smell and savor to God. And I bet you the taste was amazing. Absolutely amazing. He is a lamb that was slain to end famine. He said, Eat of my body, which was broken for you, and drink of my blood, which was shed for you, and your soul will never hunger or thirst ever again. And it's true. Now, if I come Sunday, have a book, if I have a brand new book, and I open that book up, and it's from Dr. Reverend Bishop High and Mighty Self-Righteous So-and-So, and I tell you what he said, and this man has gone through so many studies, and all these kinds of things, you will start to grow hungry, and you'll start to grow weak, and you'll start to become sick, spiritually sick. But if every time you come here, there is a table spread, and on that table is a sacrificed lamb, living bread, living water, then you are going to be full. There will be no famine. The only thing that will break a soul-killing famine is Christ Himself. So if you're hungry, run to Christ. Run to Christ. He said, Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Isn't that what He said? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's Christ Himself. It's not a better standard of living. He is our righteousness. Blessed are they, for they shall be filled. Revelation 7 says, The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He said, I'm going to feed them myself. Agabus stood up, and he signified that there would be a great dearth throughout all the world. But every child of God who was in need immediately started receiving relief. And they were not without. They were not without. They had plenty. So do God's people, because they have God's word. And it's always going to be that way. It's always going to be well with the righteous. All who just come to Christ are truly going to delight their soul in fatness. They really are. So run to Him. Run to Christ. All right, let's stand together.